Lord Lonsdale, or Wicked Jimmy, as he was better known, was an eccentric and haughty aristocrat whose tyranny knew no bounds, a sinister figure to many of his contemporaries. His greed for power in both business and politics was rapacious, and it was a foolish peasant who did not meet his criminal extortion of grain and livestock. The unlucky individual would be flogged mercilessly until Lowther grew bored of the amusement. He was also a man of unbridled passions, and this was to prove his ruin. Despite his overweening authority and fearsome temper, Lonsdale was trapped in an unhappy arranged marriage and engaged in unwise dalliances outside his ancestral home of Lowther Castle. His amorous attentions eventually fell on Sarah Cook, the handsome daughter of one of Lonsdale's tenant farmers. But as Sarah was considered of common stock and below his social standing, he was forced to keep her as his mistress in lavish style at his manor house in Hampshire. By and by, his love for Sarah grew, softening his mood and bringing much unaccustomed joy into his life, but it was not to last. In the winter of 1790, Sarah fell unaccountably ill and died at the manor. There was no warning and no time to grieve, and so the Lord of Lonsdale reverted to his old ways and simply refused to accept her demise. Sarah's cold, stiffening body was left on the bed next to him, much to the disgust of Lowther's servants, who were forced to play along with this gruesome charade or face dismissal. For the first few days, the chambermaids cleaned and dressed the deceased and brought her down to dinner when their master returned from business. The two of them would be served their evening meal at the same time as usual, but manoeuvring the cutlery between the corpse's frozen fingers was a grim and nauseating chore for the young laird who attended table. But soon, no amount of perfume could disguise the sickly stench of death, as Sarah's putrefying flesh slipped free of its bony scaffold. In due course, the servants could bear it no longer, and left Lowther alone with his skeletal sweetheart. Wicked Jimmy then had the body placed inside a glass-fronted coffin so that he could gaze upon what was left of the face that had once so bewitched him. The days would drag by interminably, and he longed to rush back and be with Sarah, who would listen patiently to his stories of the day's progress and his overtures of love, all the while staring at him with vacant sockets and smiling her grisly smile. He didn't need her to speak. He knew what was in her heart. But the inevitable could not be put off forever. As the body rotted and frayed in its bower of glass, Lowther was exhorted by the few acquaintances who dared visit him now to dispose of the body. It was not right for Sarah to be denied a consecrated burial. Her spirit could never be at rest. And so, 2 months after her death, Lowther buried his beloved at Paddington Cemetery in London. Wicked Jimmy, the scourge of the Westmoreland countryside, returned to Lowther Castle a broken man. Gone was the rambunctious despot, to be replaced by a desolate figure who suffered chronic bouts of depression and took to wandering aimlessly through the nearby woods for days on end. His wife had little option but to remain by his side, but his business languished and the estate fell into decay. He died in 1802, and there were few tears shed at his funeral. But Lowther could not resist one final affront. As the lid was about to be placed on top of his coffin, Wicked Jimmy suddenly sat up, eyes blazing. A sharp hiss of air issued from his dead lips. The tremendous force of his movement knocked the attending vicar off his feet and caused a gasp of horror to break out from the assembled mourners. Wicked Jimmy had risen from the grave like some demented Lazarus to strike terror into the hearts of his neighbors once more. However, a collective sigh of relief shuddered through the gathering when, having had the last word, Sir James Lowther sank back into his casket, which was hurriedly nailed shut. But if the people of Westmoreland thought that was the last they would know of the bad lord, they were sorely mistaken. Lowther Hall was the first to bear the full brunt of his homecoming. The upper floors shook violently as his ghost strode about in a rage that forced those few kinsmen who had remained in the castle to cower in the chambers below. Worst of all, though, was the dreadful bellowing. Sir James's booming voice, which terrified those at the receiving end of his ire when he was alive, now threatened to shake the crumbling edifice of Lowther Castle to the ground. But he would not confine his hauntings to his erstwhile residence, and spread his new reign of terror to the surrounding countryside. Dressed in black, thoroughly dishevelled and sporting a manic gleam in his eye, the first Earl of Lonsdale drove a spectral carriage pulled by demonic chargers through the quiet lanes bounding his estate. None would forget Wicked Jimmy in a hurry.